privilege to be able to share God's Word. I had the opportunity to study under some of the pastors that Terry studied under. I had an opportunity to sit in some of the classes that Terry sat in, at different times obviously, but I count it a privilege that the Lord has given me the opportunity to be able to share His Word. I'm kind of new to El Paso. I've only been here, this October will be 2 years that I've actually lived here. I've made several trips in the past several years, though, because my brother and my sister-in-law and nieces and nephews, they all live down this way. So you might have seen me around periodically throughout the last several years on occasion on a Sunday, and that's because I was traveling down here to visit with them. You know, I heard that I was going to be teaching today, so I went out and got the traditional wear of the Calvary Chapel movement, which is a Hawaiian shirt and some casual pants. You know, some churches wear robes and others wear other things, but in the Calvary Chapel movement, we wear casual clothes because we're here to be comfortable, to learn and to hear what the Lord has to say for us. You know, someone asked me the other day how I was living, and you know how people say they're living extra large. I like to tell them I'm living triple extra large. You know, and I prayed one time, Lord, expand the place of my habitation, expand the corners of my tent. And I think I got it backwards. I thought I prayed expand my pant size, you know, because it seems to be going this way. But regardless of that, we have the great privilege of coming and hearing from God's Word today and of being able to sit and see what the Lord will have to speak to us. The text that I've chosen for today's message is Psalm 139, and we're going to look at the whole of the text. And I've entitled this message, You Can Run, But You Can't Hide. So you might as well come clean. You know where I work, there's cameras all over the place. They're videotaping us as we're working. They're videotaping the people coming in and out of the warehouse as they're shopping. And it's amazing how it impacts you when you realize that you're being watched. It's amazing how it impacts you when you realize that there's some eyes on you and how you behave, how you act. You want to make sure you're not picking your nose or anything when you're in front of the camera or, you know, doing something like that that might get you caught off guard. And since the time I've been at work there, we've had several people that have been terminated from work because they've been caught stealing on videotape. Well, this chapter here, chapter 139 of Psalms, is basically that type of a situation. God has His eyes upon us. God is watching us. You can run, but you cannot hide from God. You've often heard that man can run, but you cannot hide. Well, that's true. Most men know that about their wives. You can run from your wife, but you cannot hide. She's going to find you out. Though I'm not married, I've seen a lot of that taking place around me. So if you're in trouble with the wife, no place you can go that she can't find you. So you might as well come clean. And that's what we're going to talk about with God this morning. This psalm is one of the most didactic psalms from a theological standpoint in the Bible. And that means it is one of the most thoroughly filled with teachings and truths about the character and the nature of our God. We're going to see here that the psalmist was caught up with the awe. He was in awe by the omniscience of God. He was assured by the omnipotence of God. He was assured by the omnipresence of God. And he was amazed by the omnipotence of God, which led him to the final phase of this book, where he appeals to the continual observance of God. He prays at the end, Lord, keep your eyes upon me. Because he knew God had his eyes upon him anyway. The first place it starts in verses 1 through 6. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path in lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. Wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. The psalmist here is in awe by the omniscience of God. Omni means all. Omniscience means all knowledge. God has all knowledge. God is fully, completely, thoroughly aware with each one of your lives. He is completely, thoroughly aware of every thought before you think it, of every word before it's formed on the tip of your tongue. He is fully aware of every intent and motive of your heart. And God knows this fully, thoroughly, and completely. When the psalmist starts off and says, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me," he's saying, "Lord, You have done a thorough investigation of my life. You have done a background check. You have examined me. You have put me through the test. And You have seen what my life consists of." He says, "You know my sitting downs and my rising ups. You know when I'm relaxed and comfortable and taking it easy. And You know when I'm up and about working and doing the things that You've called me to do and the things maybe that You have not called me to do." And then he says, "Thou compassest me behind and before," meaning that God has set the boundaries and the limitations of what we as human beings are capable of achieving and accomplishing. Because only God, we're going to find out as we go further into this chapter, has all power. Only God, it has been given to Him and it is His to share with whom He will His power. God does not give away His power, He only shares His power. And it is His to take back at any time that He sees fit. The psalmist goes on to say, "There is not a word in my mouth, but that You do not know it before it is even formed there. There is not a thought in my mind that is in even being conceived without God thoroughly knowing what that thought will be." That's an amazing and sobering thing. But you know, for the unbeliever, it has one implication. But for the believer, it's going to have a totally separate implication. For the unbeliever, it should cause terror and fear that the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, is keeping His watch upon every person. The Bible says in Psalm 33, 13 through 14, "The Lord looks down from heaven and He sees the sons of men. He looks down from His lofty place upon high and He judges the dwelling place and of the inhabitants of the earth." God is watching. How are you living? When I started out, I said this was a didactic psalm, that it was a psalm full of teaching and truths about God. It is a theological psalm. Theology comes from two Greek words. The first being theos, meaning God. The second word being logos, meaning rational expression. So theology is simply the rational expression of the living God. And as far as the Bible is concerned, biblical theology is the discovery, the systematizing, and the presentation of the truths that can be known about God that are found in His Word. And this psalm is filled with many truths that should be sober-minded, causing us to become sober-minded, that should cause us to live with a different outlook on the way that we're living and the things that we're doing and the choices that we're making and the decisions that we are deciding to do every day. The psalmist says, "From the beginning, Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me." Thy hand refers to the power of God. From the beginning, God's hand has been upon His creation. God has been involved in every aspect of His creation. Nothing that is seen or that can be seen has come into existence without the power of the Almighty God and the God whom we have everything to do with. You know, the Word of God says that in Hebrews 4:12, He's talking about the Word of God being sharper than any double-edged sword, cutting asunder between spirit, bone, and marrow, being a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man. And then in verse 13, He goes on to say, "And not a creature exists that is not uncovered before the eyes of God, that is not exposed and laid bare and naked before Him, with Him who looks upon us intently, with those who have everything to do with Him, because we're His creation. He looks over us. He watches over us." Just as a person that builds a business, or a person that builds a home, or a person that builds a college career or some other type of career. He watches over that career to make sure that it accomplishes what He's purposed for that career to do. So God is watching over our lives to make sure that we accomplish with our lives the purposes and the plans that He has purposed for us. For the believer, that is a comfort. For the unbeliever, that should cause despair and heartache and travailing and trembling, because it is a horrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And God is not angry with those who have trusted and given their lives to Him, but He is angry against all wickedness from heaven. He will judge it with His wrath, which will be poured out upon all unrepentant and all unregenerate people. That's God's Word. If something I say this morning will offend you or cause you to be disturbed or upset, well, then your argument is not with me, but your argument is with God, because this is God's Word. This is not my Word. This is not Bruce's Word. This is not Terry's Word. This is the Word of the living God. And He has allowed these things by His Spirit to be God-breathed in here. For we know that the Word of God is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in right living, that the man or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. David is caught in awe over the omniscience of God, knowing that God is watching me, that God has His eyes upon me, that there's nothing I can do, think, say, that God will not fully know already. See, omniscience is simply that God fully understands and comprehends everything fully, totally, in completeness, and does not need anyone to instruct Him or to teach Him anything, because who can teach the Lord anything? He asked that of the writer in Isaiah. He says, "Who has taught me? Were you there?" He talks to Job. "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the world? Were you there when I created the heavens and the earth? Were you there? Do you know where I store up the rains and the heavens and the snows? Were you there?" None of us was there, but God was there from the beginning. He's the everlasting, eternal God. And because of that, there's four reasons that it should bring comfort to the believer. The first reason it should bring comfort to the believer is that His omniscience brings us security. We can be secure in the fact that God who called us and God who chose us knew us fully, completely, thoroughly before He ever called us. So there's not a forgotten skeleton in your closet. There's not a hidden secret thing in your life. There's not an accusation that can be brought against you that will cause God to turn away from you and reject you and cast you out. Because He thoroughly and fully knew you. He knew your frame, that you were but dust even before He chose you. And He chose me. So you don't have to walk around with an insecure feeling and fearful and fretful that God's going to find out something about you that's going to cause Him to stop loving you or to reject you and kick you out and cast you out. Because His Word says that those that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Because He's a faithful God and He loves us. And then secondly, it should cause us to have a sensitivity to the warnings of God that are found in His Scripture. Because God is not just making some conjecture or some wild guess at what the consequences of unconfessed sin or other things in our lives that should not be there are. He knows what they are. So His omniscience, His all-knowingness should cause us to walk with that understanding, with that sensitivity, that when God warns us about something and says, "I've found this in your life, cut it out, let it go, get rid of it," that you're quick to do so, because God knows the ultimate consequence. He knows the final outcome. This is a sobering book, this book of Psalms. This is a sobering thought, to think that you're being watched at all times. And we know we're being watched when we go out in public. We go to the bank teller machine, they have a camera there. We go up to the bank teller window, they have a camera there. We go into the grocery stores, well, there's a camera there. Even the parking lots in some grocery stores and Walmart and other places, they have a warning sign. This parking lot is constantly under video surveillance. Well, our lives are constantly under surveillance by the living God. And I want to assure you and give you comfort and hope, child of God, believer in God, that God is not going to find anything in your life that is going to cause Him to cast you out or to reject you. And that should bring security to you. But that should also cause you to have a sensitive heart towards the warnings and the commandments and the pleas of God. You see, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if a man soweth to his flesh, of the flesh he will reap destruction. But if to his spirit, he will reap of the spirit life everlasting. We can't pull the wool over God's eyes. He's the great shepherd. I can pull the wool over your eyes and you can pull the wool over my eyes because we are the sheep of God. But we cannot pull the wool over the great shepherd's eyes because he's not a sheep. He is the shepherd. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that God is watching. You can run, but you cannot hide, so you might as well come clean. And my encouragement to you this morning, if you're an unbeliever in this place, if you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've never made a commitment to the God that is able to conform you and change you into His image, then today, make this the day of salvation for you, that you come to know Him, that you come clean before Him. But also let it be a warning to you as children of God who are living lives of compromise. Lives that have things in it that you know are displeasing to God. God has showed you that they're displeasing to Him. But yet you persist on trying to have your little pet sin or your little pet thing over here. It's today is the day to let it go. Today is the day to come clean before God and confess it and let Him have it. You see, God is watching. He knows everything. Not Madam Mary down the road that can read your palm. She knows all. She sees all. She hears all. She doesn't know anything. God knows everything. You and I don't know everything. So when we look at a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ to try to make some assessment or judgment as to their salvation, we do not have that authority nor that place. That judgment is of God alone to assess their salvation before Him. We can look at the fruits of people's lives, but we cannot make the determination of whether they're going to heaven or they're not going to heaven. This is a powerful psalm once you start to realize that the third thing that this should do, knowing that God is omniscient, for the believer, it should bring us solace. It should bring us comfort. Comfort in the fact that the events and the situations that take place in our life, God is fully aware of them and only He knows the full and utter impact and glory that it will bring to Him, even when we cannot understand the things that are happening to us. Or to our lives. You see, God is faithful. He will not take His hand off of us. God is faithful. He will not forget us. So numerous are His thoughts towards us. The psalmist is going to go on to say in a few minutes that God's continually thinking about you as His child. God's got your name inscribed in the palm of His hand. And every time He looks at His hand, He sees your name written there. We can't get away from God. We can't escape this God that we serve. What an awesome God. No wonder it caused the psalmist to be in awe by His omniscience. And then he was assured next by His omnipresence. But one last thing before we go to the omnipresence of God. It should bring us sobriety of mind as His children. Knowing that someday we will all stand before the eyes of the living God who sees us from beginning to end. It should impact and affect the decisions, the way you live, the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your husband, the way you treat your children, the way you treat your parents, the way you treat the people around you, because God is watching. And He wants us to be people that are filled with love and compassion and grace and mercy and tender bowels of kindness. And He wants us to walk worthy of the calling wherewith He has called us, and to walk in a manner that is worthy of His name. Young person, when you go to the schools, to the places of education, and they try to tell you that it doesn't matter what you do because nobody's going to know anyway, it won't hurt anybody, it won't cause anybody harm, God knows. David found that out firsthand. For a year he hid his sin with Bathsheba. And it says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "And the thing that David did displeased the Lord." And so God sends to him a prophet called Nathan to tell him a little parable about a man who had his little ewe lamb stolen from him by some rich and wealthy, powerful man that had many ewe lambs. And when David heard it, David was angry, and he said, "That man shall give back four times, and not only that, but let him be put to death," when the law only gave provision for four times returned back to the person who had been stolen from. And yet Nathan turns to David and says, David, you are that man. You are that man. See, don't wait for God to send you a prophet to correct the things in your life that need correcting. God has sent you a prophet. It's His Word. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent Him to speak to you. And as you spend time in His Word, and as you spend time listening to His Word, allow His Word to cut those things out of your life. And know this, that you have security because of His omniscience as a believer. You have comfort because of His omniscience as a believer. And let it cause you to be sensitive and sober-minded towards the things that God shows you in His Word. And then now we're going to go to where he is assured by God's omnipresence. Omnipresence means that God is everywhere at one time. That doesn't mean that God is spread out and diminished in stature. God is fully everywhere all the time. Fathom that. God is fully everywhere all the time. He's not little bits and pieces of Him, His arms over here and His legs over there and His neck's over there. God is fully present all the time. And this caused David to be assured. It caused David to be assured of one of the greatest promises in the Word of God, where God has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you abandoned. No, never, never, never will I give you up. No, never, ever, ever, I will not leave you to your own self. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter the complexity, the adversity, and the perplexities of your life. God will never, ever, ever leave His child all alone. God has promised to walk with you every step of the way. You may be going through a financial difficulty. You may be going through a health difficulty. You may be going through some other type of difficulty. You may have got a doctor's bad report that someone you loved has a critical condition or an incurable disease. But God won't forsake you. God will walk with you through the midst of those storms and struggles and trials of life. And when you come out on the other side, you'll look back and be able to say, had it not been for God with me, I would have never made it. You see, a believer is somebody that has an invisible means of support. And an atheist is somebody that does not have an invisible means of support. We have a support that's there when our heart and our strength fails us. Then He is our strength and He is our portion forever. You may be wondering this morning why you've been going through some of the situations you've been going through. You may be wondering this morning why that loved one that you love and you know that person and they're kindly and they're gentle and they're meek and all these things, and yet they've been hit with a terrible disease, or they've been hit with a cancer, or they've been hit with something else, and you wonder, where is God in all this? Well, I'll tell you where God is in all this. God is right there beside you, giving you His strength, His support, His security. The psalmist writes here, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or where shall I flee from Thy presence? If I go up to the heights of heaven or to the depths of the earth and make my bed in hell, behold, You are there. If I take up the wings of the morning, if I get wings like the dawn and I go as fast as the dawn goes from one side of the earth to the other, He goes, I still cannot escape far enough away from You where Your hand, that's His power, where Your power is not there to guide me and to lead me. And for you who do not know Jesus Christ today, if there's any in this place, know this for a surety. You can run from God, but you cannot hide from God. And be sure your sin will find you out. That's His Word. That's His promise. You see, when he's talking about the presence of God, he is talking about the administrative power of God. He is talking about the Spirit of God. See, the Bible says that the Spirit of God searches all things. And He knows all things. And He discerns all things. And He knows your motive. He knows your intent. He knows the reason you do what you do. He knows the motivation behind it. But it should bring us as believers comfort to know that God's not going to forsake us or leave us. that God's going to work with us to correct the wrong motives. He's going to work with us to bring our intentions to the place where they bring honor and glory to His name. He's not a mean, horrible, terrible God that's out to be a spiritual killjoy to try and take away our fun. But He's a God that knows what's best for us. And so He's there to protect us. He's there to walk with us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That we have to fear no evil, for His rod and His staff are with us and they comfort us. That in the end He will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And He will anoint our head with His goodness. And He will anoint our head with His mercy. And He will allow us to follow after Him all the days of our lives. We find that in God's Word. That's why theology is so important as believers, that we know biblical theology. Because in biblical theology, we find out the truths of God's character, the truths of God's nature that will sustain us and keep us in the difficult times of life. Because how many of you have experienced or found out that life isn't easy? It's not always a bowl of cherries. It's not always a cakewalk through the park. It's filled with difficulties. It's filled with complexities. It's filled with perplexities. It's filled with adversities. But God is in the midst of all those things with you. I want you to think for a moment when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. It says, "And the Lord shut the mouth of the lions." Not even the lions could devour Daniel because the Lord was with him, protecting him. And if you've been cast into a den of lions, maybe at your workplace, maybe people around you telling false things about you or trying to destroy your reputation, you don't need to worry. God is defending you. And God will defend you better than you can defend yourself. Because every lying tongue that raises itself against you, God will bring it low. And every weapon that is formed against you, God will form a shield, a hedge of protection round about you. It may cause you to feel a little discomfort and pain, but I guarantee you something. It will not utterly destroy you and wipe you out, because God is watching you and God is with you always, never to leave you or forsake you. God is always with you. That should be a comfort to you, believer. That should be a comfort to you, believer, who is facing some difficult days. That should be a comfort to you, believer, who is wondering where maybe that child that's run away from home is might be, or where that loved one that has lost contact with you might be. It should be a comfort to you that God knows exactly where they are, and if you're praying for them and you're believing God for them, God will deal with them. God knows how to do it. And then think back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They were thrown in there because they did not bow. And it says, "And a fourth man appeared among them, and he appears to be like the Son of Man." Jesus Christ showed up on the scene, and I guarantee you, Jesus Christ didn't just show up on the scene. He was already on the scene. He was already in the fiery furnace even before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tossed into the fiery furnace. And you can rest assured that God is already there when you get to the difficulties of life. God is already there waiting to take you by the hand and to bring you through. And it may not be bringing you through the way you think it should be. Your idea of how the outcome should end and God's idea of how the outcome should end are two different things. Because His ways are higher than your ways and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And who can know the thoughts and the mind of God except the Spirit of God? So he's assured by the omnipresence of God. He's assured by the fact that God's always there with him, never to leave him or forsake him. That God's going to walk with him every step of the way, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And I want you to hear that. It's the shadow of death. It cannot hurt you. It cannot harm you. It's just a shadow. But he's overcome death. The final enemy that God has destroyed is death. And that death is a sting of sin, which has been destroyed through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know God today, be afraid. Be very afraid. But if you know God today, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to be afraid of because God is with you and there is nothing that can separate you from His love. Neither depth nor height nor things past nor things present nor things to come nor things above nor things below can ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Neither hunger nor nakedness nor famine nor peril nor sword nor danger nor any other thing that can be named can ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then finally David gets to the place, this psalmist David gets to the place where he is amazed by the omnipotence of the living God. Verse 13, "For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in the secret place, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee." He is amazed by the omnipotence of God. And this portion of the psalm is very rich. There's a lot of Hebrew words in here that when you begin to look up the meaning, you begin to see something totally amazing. Something that was written even before there was x-ray machines and other types of things to look into the body. David is literally writing here. He's saying, "I will praise You and give You thanks because You have created me and formed me. And I am a wonderful work of Your hands." And then quite literally he says, "My substance was not hid from Thee." That is, the body parts that you are made up of were not hid from God. He saw them. One of the words that's used here when it talks about Him taking the reins of your life, that word for reins is the word kilia, which means kidneys. God literally saw your kidneys, your internal organs, before they were even formed. And then another word is the word tilia, which means He saw your flesh, your skin. And then another word in here is the word ostem, which means bones. He literally saw your skeleton before it was even formed. Those who would say that life begins when the baby comes through the birth canal and its shoulders are out, they haven't read this portion of the word. Life begins because God saw you quite literally. And here it says, from the time you were an embryo and a fetus to the time you take your last breath upon this earth. God is the giver of life. God is the creator of life. And we should not stand idly by when people promote and condone abortion and the murder of unwanted babies, because God gave life to those individuals. And I'm not saying go join the march and do all these other things, but I'm saying you need to, as the Lord brings people across your path that have that wrong thinking and that wrong teaching, that you begin to share with them the fact that their life is hid in Christ, that they're formed by God. In the universities and school, they teach children that they came from apes. Their great-great-grandpappy was an ape. Well, he may have acted like an ape, but that's a different story. Great-great-grandpappy was no ape. He was no monkey. He was a created being, created and formed in the image of the living God. Genesis chapter 2 says, "And God formed man from the dust of the earth, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God doesn't make junk, people. The world may be ready to throw you on the junk heap. The world may be ready to say that you're not worthwhile. The world may be ready to say that there's no value to you. But God says you're valuable. God says you're precious. God says you're His handiwork and His creation. And He loves you greatly and dearly. There may be some in here today that might feel that God is just really, nobody really loves them. Woe is me, I think I'll go eat worms. I've felt like that many times. I felt unloved and unlovable. I felt like nobody cared. But you know what? God cares. God loves me. And God will keep on loving me when, if all of you in this congregation today decide you just don't like the way I'm preaching and teaching, and you all decide not to love me and like me anymore, God will still love me and like me. Yes, He will. And that should bring comfort to us. It should bring joy to our hearts. It should bring excitement to our step, knowing that God values me, that God loves me, that God has a plan for me, that God has a purpose for my life, that I'm not some cosmic accident of some primordial ooze that came into being in some distant past by some big bang explosion where all these gases formed and this big explosion take place and all these planets and stars and everything we see came into existence. No, God planned me, God purposed me to love me and that I might love Him and serve Him forever. And He did the same for you. See why theology is so important, people of God, children of God? It's important that we know the proper theology, the proper nature and character of God, because it is this nature and character of God that will sustain us in the difficult times. It will keep us when we feel like we're going to fall apart. I've been there. God's holding us together. So you know what? If you feel like falling apart, go ahead. God's going to keep you held together anyway. And I want you to know something. There's some people feel that they've missed God's call, God's mark so bad that there's no hope for them. How can God possibly love you? You've just blown it so bad. God has no purpose, no plan, no use for your life. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not what God's Word teaches. God's Word teaches that God will pick you up, clean you up, dump you out, fill you up, and then use your life for His plan and His purpose that only He can do. You have value and worth to God. You're not a throwaway. You're not a reject. You're loved by the very Creator of heaven and earth. And man, I don't know what that does for you, but I know what it does for me. It makes me pretty excited. It makes me want to get, like I tell them at work sometimes, it makes me want to get a little bit Pentecostal, if you know what I mean. It wants to make me hop and shout and holler and jump and hang from the chandeliers. See, I'm not a fan of sports, and it's obvious by the way I look, but I am a fan of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm a fan of His Word, and I'm a fan of the truth of His Word, knowing that His Word is truth, and every other word that it can be spoken is a lie, because His Word says, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. He don't make junk. And if you're in here today feeling like God has messed up with your life and that God has no more use for your life and that you've ruined the plans that God has for your life, I want you to know this morning that God has not given up on you. So don't give up on you. Go to God. Come clean with God. He'll clean you up. He'll dump you out. He'll fill you up. And He'll send you out to do what He's called you to do. It don't matter where you're at. I feel the Pentecostal coming out of me a little bit. I get a little excited. You know, that's one of the hardest things as coming to the Calvary Chapel movement from an extremely Pentecostal type church where there was dancing in the aisles and, you know, all that type of stuff was trying to be a little bit more reserved. But, you know, sometimes there's a place to just let off that reservation a little bit and shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph and the voice of victory, because our God has done mighty things and our God is a great and mighty God, and there is no God like our God. He lives forever. And then when He talks about the thoughts of God, He's saying, God, I'm so precious and valuable to Me. You're always thinking about Me. Think back to your first love, people. Remember how you used to think about that person, used to write their name all over your notebook, in your hand, and wherever you could find a place to write, and, you know, make those little heart-shaped things, I love so-and-so, and she loves me. And but I tell you what, we have a God that loves us. And we can be filled with hope and encouragement and joy this morning, because no matter what we're going to face in life, God's not going to ever leave us or forsake us, because He loves us too much. And then David calls about, he goes on to say, Lord, You wrote the number of my days in your record book even before any of them existed. And let's jump forward to the book of Revelation for a moment. Chapter 20, when the great white throne is coming down from heaven, and what does His word say? And He says, "And I saw many great and small standing before the throne of God, and the books were open, and the book of life was opened, and everyone was judged from the book according to all that they had done." There's coming a day of reckoning, people. There's coming a day of judgment. For the believer, it is not a judgment to determine whether we get into heaven or don't get into heaven. It is a judgment of rewards based upon what we have done with Christ in this world. But for the unbeliever, there is coming a day of judgment that will be a judgment to see if their name does appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. And whosoever name was not written in that book was cast into the lake of fire. You see, God is not going to be mocked. God cannot be fooled. He knows. And He knows each one of you right here today. He knows those of you who have made a firm and true commitment to Him. Those of you who are believers. He knows those of you who may have been merely playing church and never have really made a commitment. You're going through the motions. But you know what? He loves you enough that He wants to give you His salvation to cleanse you and to get you on the right path. The right course to use your life for His plans and purposes. And then finally, David ends with an appeal for the continual observance of God. Notice it says, he starts off with, "Thou hast searched me, Thou hast known." And here we're going to find David praying, "Oh Lord, search me. Oh Lord, know me. Oh Lord, investigate me. Oh Lord, examine me. Lord, put me on trial and find out the thoughts and the intents of my heart, Lord. See if there be any way that is grievous, that is harmful, that is hurtful, that is idolatrous, that is sinful in my mannerisms, in my lifestyle, in my conduct, in my behavior. And Lord, cleanse me of it and keep me in the way that leads to eternity with You." For the believer, it's a continual daily coming to Christ to be daily cleansed, because as we walk through this world, our feet get dirty and they need to be washed. The rest of us is already clean because of the word that He has spoken, the word that He has written. But as you go through life, you get surrounded by contaminants and pollution and all kinds of other things, filth of the world, sinfulness and depravity. And you know what? God knows. But we need to come to Him daily to be cleansed and to be cleaned and to be purified. So he ends with that thought. He says, "Lord, kill the wicked. Oh, surely You're going to kill the wicked. I hate, Lord, I'm a hater of those who hate You. Quite literally, I'm a hater of their ways. I'm a hater of their thoughts. I'm a hater of their thinking. I'm a hater of their form of theology and their form of doctrine and their form of teaching." God hates sin, but He does not hate the sinner. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to know that God does not hate you. He loves you. And He has made a way for you to have forgiveness and salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think it's time to stop running and come clean with God? See, because you can run, but you can't hide. And maybe there's some of you in here today that are struggling with past sins and failures, and you just feel like God's given up on you. I want you to be assured today that God has not given up on you. That God is ready to forgive you, to empty you out, and to fill you back up so you can be used for His plans and His purposes. I don't know about you, but it brings me great excitement and great joy. As I began to look into the Word of God and I began to see the things that are written in His Word and the truths about our God. The next time you're tempted to throw up your hands and say, "Nobody loves me, nobody cares," remember, God loves you, God cares. The next time you're tempted to just throw yourself down and give up, remember, God is holding on to you. He's not going to let you go. He's going to keep holding on to you. He's going to bring you from the day that you were an embryo in your mother's womb to the day you finally take your last breath on this earth. He's recorded them all. He's got a watch over them. He's numbered them. And He's going to walk you all the way into glory, in the way of eternity, the way of everlasting life. I want us to bow our heads this morning. And I'm going to give an opportunity this morning. I don't know the hearts of the individuals in this place. Only God does. But I want to give opportunity this morning for anyone in this place that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Stop running. Come clean with Him. Because you can run, but you cannot hide. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, and you'd like that opportunity to know the Lord, I just want you to raise your hand and we're going to pray for you this morning. I'm going to give you a few moments. And then also I want to let those of you in this place know who maybe you've been walking a life that has been less than what it should be for Christ, that He wants to cleanse you up. He wants to get you back in the race. And He wants to send you out because there's a world to be won for Jesus Christ. Because we're living in the last of the last days. We're living in the latter times. And if you're here today and you want to make a fresh commitment to the Lord, I want to give you that opportunity also. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to ask the elders and the counselors to come up. And as this last song is being played through, and AJ, I want you to play it through twice. Anybody that needs prayer for anything, maybe you're just feeling guilt over past failures, I want you to come and just let someone pray with you and assure you. Maybe it's a salvation that you need Jesus Christ in your life. Let Him do that for you this morning. Maybe it's that you need a recommitment of your life to Christ this morning. I want you to come. You know what? Don't be concerned about people around you are going to think. Because the day is going to come when you by yourself are going to appear before God's throne. Nobody's going to appear there with you. It's just going to be you and God. Just like it is right now, you and God. Go ahead, AJ.
And I have a maker.